Church.
Good morning.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on this beautiful third Sunday of Easter. Once again, it's great to be back in our house of worship, and it's great to have so many of you who are joining us for worship online as well. A few announcements before we dig into worship. The order of worship can be found on scmchurch.org, or you can look in your weekly email to pull that up. So if you'd like to follow along with the bulletin, you are welcome to do that. Continued thanks for all of you who continue to so diligently follow all of our guidelines. It is greatly appreciated from all of our staff and all of our joint board members as we continue to take our COVID-19 guidelines seriously. A big thank you for all those who attended our first week of countywide Sunday school last week. That's happening from 4 to 5. The first week happened this week. There's 6 more weeks to go. I heard a lot of great positive feedback. Great attendance in both classes. We have a kindergarten to fifth grade class and a 6th to 12th grade class, which is focusing on justice. So continue to support and pray for our kids, and hopefully they get some wonderful fellowship opportunities in that Sunday school class. Elders, don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be meeting on Zoom at 7 p.m. Joint board will be meeting the next Wednesday at 6:30 with trustees to follow. That will be on April 28th. For all our virtual worshipers, we continue to recommend using Facebook Live over Zoom right now. We're getting better sound quality out of Facebook Live, so we're hoping to make some other changes, but we continue to be grateful to have worshipers in person and online with us. I also want to make mention, Noah's Hope is offering, you might have seen this out in front of our church yard. The church purchased this with our great Easter donations that we receive for people from our second mile offering. These signs are $20, and they are in honor of Child Abuse Prevention Month. So you can wear blue this month in honor of Child Abuse Prevention. And out of the funds we raise, we've actually purchased 3 or 4 signs in the back. So if anyone is interested in purchasing one of those for $20, you can see me or Emily after worship, and we'll take those proceeds and then donate that back to Noah's Hope as well. So a great opportunity to support a community organization right down the road that does some very, very important ministry and service in our community. And then the other prayer of joy I want to share with you is just give a big shout-out and thanksgiving to our Food on the Fly crew. Another great week. They sold over 90 meals this past week. And I was driving home actually from an appointment in Cleveland Clinic around 5 o'clock, and I saw this cars around parked around the corner on High Street and then coming up towards my house, and I was worried if there's a moving van coming for the pastor or something because there are so many cars out there. But it was just great to see. Thank all of you on that committee who just continue to serve and to give, Letitia, Delene, and Floyd for leading, and everybody who stayed. I mean, I think that group has been rock solid for a couple of years now, so thank you for continuing to do wonderful ministry in the midst of our church. That's all I have for announcements at this time. At this time, I ask you to now stand, and let's extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Amen.
Christ has put the gates of hell. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids his prize. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise.
Jean Ann will be sharing on behalf of the congregation, and I will be reading the first part. And we remember in our liturgy of creation, especially with spring in the air, that we have so much to be grateful for, that God is continuing to bring new life, new abundance in this Easter season, and we can truly rejoice in that. So we will pray together the first three pages of the liturgy of creation. At this time, I ask you to please stand. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
Prince and rulers, men and women, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget none of his benefits.
He forgives our sins and heals our diseases. He redeems our lives and crowns us with love and compassion.
We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, and confess our sins. You may be seated.
Gracious God, we confess to you our sins, sins of oppression, when prejudice, fear, and hate rule our hearts, sins of neglect, when we poison the earth for profit, or we ignore pleas for mercy and justice, sins of pride and sins of greed. Lord, forgive us when we feed our anger and bathe in our despair. Hear now our confessions and know our hearts.
Have mercy, O God, according to your unfailing love.
Wash away all our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Amen.
As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
First scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The gospel lesson today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Amen. Thanks be to God. We now turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection, as we uplift our concerns to God and also give thanks for the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. Once again, we remind our online worshipers that due to confidentiality for some of our prayer concerns, they will be on the screen for people in person. But if you would like to go to your weekly prayer chain, you can check out some of our emails during that, or some of our prayers during that reflective time, and also take some personal prayer time for yourself and for your concerns. In our prayers this week, we continue to pray for peace in our country. We pray for the victims of gun violence in Indianapolis, eight or nine people that were killed there, for their families as they continue to mourn. We continue to pray for the people of Minneapolis who have been dealing with peace and injustice for, well, almost years. And they continue to strive to look for ways that they can live in community in a more peaceful and loving fashion. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Brock Siegenthaler, who passed away unexpectedly last Sunday. He was a classmate of Alicia Miller, only in his mid-20s, so we continue to pray for him and his family as they go through this difficult time as well. We continue to pray for the health, safety, and peace of our world. We pray for the many who have been impacted by COVID-19, up to 3 million lives lost now. We pray for all those who are able to get vaccinated. We pray that your symptoms are mild and you're able to get to living your normal life as well. And we just continue to recognize the challenging times and situations that we are in. I also want to share some prayers of joy this week, some wonderful things to share in our life. In the lives of our congregation. Three big birthdays that I want to mention this past week. Chloe Martin turned 18, so we celebrate and rejoice with her and her family as she celebrates that. Allie Baker, who celebrated a birthday this week, and Linda Northrup celebrated a big birthday this week as well. So make sure you give a shout out to those people and give thanksgiving for that. And then the last person I want to mention is somebody I can't say specifically on camera, but somebody in my family, and it wasn't me and it wasn't my wife, but they were named Student of the Month at Claymont this past month, so make sure you give him a big round of applause. And that's your first experience of being put in the spotlight as a pastor's kid, so you're welcome. You're welcome. Let us come to God in prayer, or let us take some time to reflect to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we feel the sunshine coming through the windows, just like we know that your presence is shining through our lives and inside of our hearts. And we come before you hearing about your journey to Emmaus and the long road that you went to prove to your disciples that you are the risen Savior. Help each one of us walk with you, go with you on this journey, and be reminded every single day of the miracles that you have performed for us. And help us to be in awe and wonder of all the wonderful things you do. And gracious God, we continue to pray for our world. May there be peace, and just may we learn to love one another a little better than we did yesterday, and continue to carry that progress with us day after day, so that we can do something to bear these bonds of violence and end this chain of suffering that exists in our world. And gracious God, we realize the battle with COVID has been so long, but help us not to forget the people who are suffering from it for the first time, for those who are still struggling with lingering symptoms, for those who are still scared and anxious and still not able to do the things that they loved. Help them to know that they are never truly alone if they are with God. And God, we come before you in community. And the words that are on our lips today are just thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship, whether we are here in person at Shenron Moravian Church, whether we are on our couch, or whether we are at home with you. We know, God, that you are taking care of us. So help us to pay attention to all the faith, all the hope, and all the love that surrounds us. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to our offering. We want to continue to give thanks to all of you who continue to give, whether it's on scmchurch.org or in our offering plate in the back. I continually want to advertise our 5x5 stewardship challenge. We're asking those of you that are able to, with your stimulus checks. If you're not able to, please don't worry about it. But if you are able to, give 5% to our furnace fund and another 5% to a nonprofit or a charity of your choice in your community, as we continue to look for ways to give back with the gifts we have been given. And we look for ways to be good stewards of those gifts. So if you're able to do that, we greatly appreciate that. And ask now that we take some time to reflect on the tithes, offerings, and gifts that we give to God. Please rise.
Loving Savior, help us to remain hungry for your spiritual nourishment and care. May we always give as disciples who have been given an abundance of blessings. Amen.
You may be seated. This time we'll go to our children's chat. Kids, I've asked you to hold on to your football for a moment. We're going to have our children's chat, and then during the start of our sermon, I'm going to ask you to pull those out for me. I'm going to ask you to hold on to those patiently for me. So our children's chat today, we're going to talk about where blessings come from. So if you have your whiteboard, could you pull those out for me? And I did forget to mention, those of you that have been using your whiteboards in worship, we did get some more markers in the back, so if you see any of yours that are dying or you no longer see a marker next to your whiteboard or you need another whiteboard, there are plenty for you in the back at this time. But this time I'm going to ask the kids to get out their whiteboards as we get some time to interact with one another. So my first question for you is, who had a soccer game yesterday? Who played soccer yesterday? Yeah, I see Reese is very excited. She had a good game. I know Peyton scored a couple goals. I know a lot of people are, yeah, Peyton's got me. He's already ready to roll. So it's great to see that everybody's out there playing some games, playing some sports this spring. So we're going to talk about soccer is a blessing for many people. It's a great sport, and we're going to work our way through who provides that blessing for us. So my first question for you is, when you play soccer and you get to your soccer field, who do you think supplies the goal post and the paint on the field? Who do you think supplies the goal post and the paint on the field? Who do you think makes that happen? Do you think it's just a magic soccer fairy who shows up and bam, there's a goal post? And actually, what does Peyton have? People, absolutely, people do that. It's the city of New Philadelphia. Actually, your parents' tax dollars go for that, and hardworking people from the city make sure that every single week those fields are painted, they're ready to go, there's goalposts up. If you go to your baseball fields, they're the ones chalking the line, making sure that it's taken care of. All right, your next question is, who, when you're at your soccer game, who brings the cones to practice with, the drinks, the jerseys, and who tells you where to stand during the middle of the game, and who maybe gives you some encouragement to stand in different places? Tyler's got it. It's the coaches. The coach tells you where to go, so that blessing continues further on. Now, this is an important one. Who makes sure you are on time at the game, in your uniform, you have your little cleats on, it's in their calendar, they get in the car and they make sure that you are there in time? Who takes care of that? Mom and dad, absolutely. Your parents make sure you're ready to roll. All right, so we go from the city to the coach to the parent, and now we're going to look at the field. So what two environmental factors make sure the grass grows on your soccer field? What two things have to happen in the environment to make sure grass grows? You need two things. Let's see. Rain, absolutely. And then I see sun, water and sun. Nick's got it, absolutely. You need rain and sunshine, because without those things, you're going to be playing on a pretty dusty, dirty soccer field. It's going to be like the old Oakland Raiders football field where you're playing on the baseball stadium and you're taking some pretty big tumbles. All right, so your last question as we've worked our way down, who provides the sunshine and the rain then? Who's responsible for that? Tyler's got it. God. Yes, God provides it all. So when you work your way through the top to the bottom of what God is providing for you, you can see from the city worker to the parent to the coach to the sunshine and even the rain that comes on your field, it all comes back to God. So that's why you can thank God for the opportunity to play soccer. And you can think about all the other things in your life. And I guarantee, whatever you're good at, you can trace it all back to God. And that's what we're talking about. All our blessings go in a circle. It starts with ourselves, and it comes all the way back to where God is implanted within us, leading us, guiding us, and taking care of us. So I want you to always remember that. It always comes back to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I want to say thank you for these kids. Thank you for the wisdom that you instill with them, and thank you for reminding them who is responsible for all our blessings. And help all of us not to have egos, but to remember every single day, it's God who provides us, God who takes care of us, and God who watches over us. And we are so, so grateful for that. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So to start our message today, we're going to do things a little bit differently than we have for a normal sermon, because I think it's easy to get caught in what I call the COVID coma, where we just continue to go through the motions and it's hard to stay awake. So I'm going to have our kids get up for a moment and we're going to talk about celebrating. We're going to talk about celebrating God's joy in our life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to space our kids out throughout our sanctuary and I'm going to have them do a little exercise with us. So Nick, if you could take your football and go over to that corner. I'm not sure if Aubrey's coming back, but if she does, we can put her in that corner. Tyler, you can go back a little bit by Denny and Paula. Brandon, do you have one too? Brandon, you can go in that corner by the door. Peyton, you can go right there. Reese, you need a football? Oh, a Green Bay Packer fan is never without a football. Don't worry about it. This one isn't even signed yet, so that's all yours. All right, we got Brandon there. We got anybody else? All right, so we're talking about... Oh, Paige, sorry. Paige, get over in that corner a little bit. Sorry about that. Actually, you two can stay together. My wonderful camera woman has adjusted to my crazy idea as well. Thank you very much for that. So what we're talking about is celebrating. Celebrating the wonderful things that we do in life. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to celebrate. So on the count of three, I'm going to count you down to three. I want you to spike your football and celebrate like you just won the Super Bowl. Not just won the Super Bowl, you won the first Super Bowl for the Cleveland Browns. So you are going to be the hero of heroes. So I want to see some celebration. And I want to know 90 years from now when you're on your deathbed, you'll tell people that Pastor Ben lets you spike footballs in church, okay? That's part of this deal. So on the count of three, one, two, three, spike those footballs. There we go. Thank you very much. Give them a round of applause. Good job, everybody. Peyton's even got the row in the boat there. I like it. You know, that's a Minnesota Gopher cheer where I come from, so I'll let that go. But you can sit down now. Thank you all very much. I appreciate that. You guys are a reminder of the importance because nobody... Oh, thank you, Peyton. So kind. That's a game-used Shenron Moravian ball now. But thank you for that reminder about the importance to celebrate life. Because I think all of us are guilty of being in those COVID comas a little bit where we're just kind of going through the motions. But it's important to switch things up and be grateful for the blessings that God gives us. And I think it's especially important for us to pay attention to it. Because you can tell a lot about the character of a person by how they celebrate the touchdown moments in their life, the moments that are so awesome, the moments when they are put above other people. And you guys all know that I love football. There's no secret. And I've come to the conclusion that there are two types of celebration in football. And there's one that says, look at me. The guy gets the ball, he throws it down, and he points his finger to the name on the back of his jersey, and he says, look at me, and look at what I have done. Look at what I have done with nobody else's help. This spotlight is born for me. And then there's another type. It's my favorite. I call it the Barry Sanders celebration. Carolyn Menapace would appreciate this. He got to the end zone so many times, he would get there, and he'd get there very patiently and hand the ball to the referee, or even better yet, he would hand the ball to one of his offensive linemen or one of his teammates who hadn't earned the spotlight like he had as a Hall of Famer. But he knew that, guess what? He didn't get to that end zone by himself. There were 10 other people working alongside him. His mom and his dad took care of him and got him to go to sports games as a little. And he knows that that spotlight doesn't just belong to him. But the act of celebration for him glorifies the team. And that's what we as Christians should be. We should glorify our neighbors and our friends. And it doesn't just apply to the sports field. Do we have any movie buffs out here? Any people who like to watch the Academy Awards or anything like that? I haven't watched the Academy Awards in a long time. It's not my cup of tea. But I know there's a lot of people who like to look at the beautiful dresses and the tuxes on the red carpet, and they like to see everybody in their majesty. But when the Academy Awards come on, I don't pay much attention to the attire, but what I will do is I'll go the next day, I'll go to YouTube, and I'll watch a few of the bigger acceptance speeches by people who were given awards and recommendations, like the actor of the year or the actress of the year or the movie of the year. And what I always love about the Academy Awards is there is a huge diversity of humility and ego. You have people who are very full of themselves, and you have people who can be very humble. And somebody who is on the high end of the ego version I saw was actually one of my mom's favorite actors growing up, George Clooney. I don't know if any of you remember him. If you want to feel really old, the first TV show I remember getting up to stay late was ER. That's the first show I remember getting to stay up a little bit and watch. But when George Clooney, I can't even remember the movie that he was recognized for, but Clooney, because of the ego that he showed in this speech, it became a verb in our vernacular after the tremendous amount of ego and selfishness that was on display. In fact, in that speech, he gave credit to Hollywood and his movies for curing racism, fixing the environment, and I think he might have even taken credit for peace in the Middle East if the orchestra wouldn't have played him off the stage by that time. See, average Joes, average Janes like us, we don't really appreciate it when somebody tries to take credit for everything in the entire world that is good. It's not the type of stuff that we respond to. And one that really touched me on the opposite end of the scale, somebody who showed great humility, was the actress Hilary Swank. I don't know if any of you are familiar with her work. She's a huge icon in The Office because of one of the episodes that featured her. But when she won the Academy Award for Best Actress in the movie Million Dollar Baby, which is probably about 10 years old by now, she talked about growing up as a kid. And she talked about growing up in a humble trailer park with her friends and with her family. And she talked about the number of people in her life that made that dream come true, that made it possible for her to be standing on that stage that day. And she was up on that stage by herself. But when she shared words like that, you could picture the hundreds of people sitting there with her who made that moment happen. It was a touching and heartfelt speech of humility. So brothers and sisters, which approach do you have in life? Because as Christians, we should be more like Hilary Swank in humility than like George Clooney in being a little egotistical at the time. We should be humble people. And it's Peter that reminds us of that in our Acts passage. He's the one that says, stay humble. Because he rejected people putting him on a pedestal for performing miracles in the name of God. You heard this when Jean Ann read it for us in Acts 3, verse 12. Peter saw it. He addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? Though by our own power or piety, we had made him walk. And Peter goes on to say that it is faith in Jesus and his name alone that is responsible for the miracles his disciples have been able to perform. It's not Peter, it's Jesus that Peter is pointing to. And every gift that Peter has, he uses it to glorify God and all that God has done in his life and in his world. And it's an important litmus test for us as disciples. Are we using the platforms that we have been given, the stages that we have been given in our life? I know not all of us are Academy Award-winning actors or actresses or NFL players, but all of us have a stage that we share, a story that we have. So are we using those platforms to glorify God or to glorify ourselves? Can we share the gospel if no one around us is there to credit us or to pat us on the back? Are we still willing to serve God when no one is watching? And I think a lot about the 18th century Moravian missionaries at this time. When they went 500 or 600 miles by boat to serve in an exotic land, there was nobody overseeing them, making sure they were doing exactly what they were supposed to. There was no Christian watchdog sitting there, hey, this is the theology you need to preach. But they had to make sure that they were conducting themselves in a way worthy of living up to the gospel. And think about that. What do you thank God for doing in your life right now? What is God responsible for giving you today? Think deeply about that question throughout the day. Because Peter reminds us that Jesus has no interest in disciples who like pedestals, who like the ego, who like to be put above others. Jesus likes those who are willing to disgrace themselves and their position by washing the feet of the people they care about, by hanging around with people who had leprosy, by hanging out with people who are considered sinners. Brothers and sisters, be humble, be willing to go a little beneath yourself. And our gospel text is about the disciples and their long journey that they take to Emmaus, where they are starving and hungry. And these past 13 months, we have been on quite a journey ourselves. And it has taken a toll on our minds, on our bodies, and on our spirits. And my spiritual director actually mentioned this last week, that she's listening to a podcast on being by an author named Krista Tippett. And Krista, on this podcast, was interviewing a psychologist, Christine Runyon, on the impact of the shared trauma that we are all experiencing together right now. And Dr. Runyon, what fascinated me was she talked about how long-term trauma, where if you undergo trauma over a long period of time, it severely stunts your memory recall. So how many of you have noticed this? How many of you are forgetting more things this year than in years past? How many of you catch yourself doing that? How many of you catch family members doing that as well? I'm sure my wife could tell you, I walked down to her about 5 minutes before worship, I had a question to ask her, and it was already gone. It was with God at that moment. And that happens more now than it's ever happened. And we, because of the trauma we are experiencing, we are forgetting more things. And I myself, I had a pretty embarrassing gaffe last week. And I'm sure some of you probably caught it. But I screwed up the Lord's Prayer, and I missed a line. Pastor much? I mean, come on. That's the one thing you got to do about your job is get the Lord's Prayer down. Come on. And I was so embarrassed. I thought Bishop Kleintop or Bishop Clennon was going to come through and make me wear like that cone of shame that they have in the movie Up that they make the dog wear. I was so embarrassed. I thank you all for not laughing at me in that moment. But it happens. It happens because of the trauma that we are going through. And it's not because I don't know that prayer. That is the first prayer I've memorized since I was 5 years old. If you've grown up in Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, it is in every single worship service regardless. So I have recited this prayer hundreds, if not thousands of times. Yet, as I've become a pastor, I have become so accustomed and so in rhythm to saying the first line of that prayer and having an entire congregation behind me that a COVID's Lord prayer for me feels a lot different. It feels very strange, and I almost feel like I'm in third grade confirmation class and I have 60 Sunday school teachers waiting there to see where I trip up on that line or not. Because it becomes less spiritual in that exercise. But the funny thing is, I shared this embarrassing story with a group of colleagues that I was meeting with last week, and almost every single one of them had a similar experience during COVID. Someone forgot something they were supposed to know that they knew since they were 4 or 5 years old. And I don't share this story with you to punish myself. I want you to be able to laugh with me in this experience, but I want to remind you just how much shared trauma is impacting us. It's a good reminder of what we are all going through. So please, be humble with yourself and with others. We are all making mistakes that we normally don't make. All of us are doing it. We are in the pit of despair together. So that means the next time someone in your household loses their keys, the next time someone walks 5 feet to you and can't remember the question they were just about to ask you, or someone forgets to do that part of their daily routine where they're supposed to vacuum or do the dishes, take a step back and don't get angry. Take a deep breath, smile, and laugh about the ridiculousness of the situation that we are in together. There is no better cure for a difficult situation than taking the time to laugh and to be joyful through it. Because we have to be able to smile and laugh through our struggles and our pain. And it was author John Acuff who said, "Remember, God found Gideon in a hole. He found Joseph in a prison. He found Daniel in a lion's den. Next time you feel unqualified to be used by God, remember this. He tends to recruit from the pit, not the pedestal. He tends to recruit from the pit, not the pedestal. So let's, this week, keep those words close to our heart. Because our collective trauma has left us in the pit of despair. Yet the greatest struggles we face may very well be God's greatest opportunity to utilize us for God's glory, to utilize us for God's mission and purpose. And when that moment finally comes, when we get the opportunity to use our platform to uplift God in our lives, when that moment finally happens, take a second and give all the credit, the honor, the praise, the glory, and the worship, and give it back to God, because He's the one that created that opportunity for each and every one of us. So let us all stay humble, let us all stay kind, and let us all remember that it all goes back to God, everything that we are given in this life. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and thank you is just what we want to say, because we know everything that happens in this life is because of your blessings and joys and gifts. And we know that even the difficult things that happen, you are with us, you are taking care of us, and you are guiding us. And we realize that it is so hard to seek ego in this world. It's so easy to want attention and to put the spotlight on us. But help us to pause, help us to take a step back, and help us to be the ones to say that it is God who is creating laughter, love, and awesomeness in our world. So help us to continue to be in awe and praise of our gracious and loving God. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, Steve and Jackie, our wonderful cantors, will share one of my favorite Easter hymns, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away. suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the name of Jesus, amen. This concludes our worship service. We hope those of you who are with us in the sanctuary and those of you who are at home have a wonderful and blessed Sunday. This time we'll take some time to dismiss families. Reese, tell you what, I'm giving you the closing spike for church. How about that? This is the send us to lunch spike. How about here? So you get to send us home. Throw it down. Let's see it. There we go. All right. Thank you very much. See, she's got the Barry Sanders thing down. She just comes back and she hands it back. I love it. Everybody have a great week, and we are so grateful to have you here. Swaldo family, go ahead. Delene and Becky, go ahead.